A few weeks ago, a friend of mine was diagnosed with inoperable pancreatic cancer. She will probably not see her child graduate from college in May. Truthfully, she will probably not see the month of March on Earth. A few weeks before that, another friend of mine called me sobbing. Her mother had gone to sleep the night before and never woke up. They still don't know what brought about her death. She, as far as anyone knew, she was completely healthy. My kid's former babysitter just sent me a text to pray for a little baby that she's caring for who has a rare disease. Both of my sister's spouses have parents with dementia. A dear friend of mine is battling alcoholism and estrangement from her family. The list of prayers that I pray each night grows and grows and grows as family, friends, friends of friends, acquaintances of acquaintances, and people on weekly prayer lists are added daily as all continue to hope and wait for healing. No, they wait for more than healing. They're waiting for miracles. And this leads to the gospel story today, where Jesus goes to Peter Simon's house, learns that Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and heals her. Bam! Instantly. Instantly. As it says in Scripture, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Ta-da! Done. Miracle. And that isn't even the end of this miracle story. We heard, as we were reading today, we hear is that there are these other people, and these other people also hear about Peter's mother-in-law being healed, and so as it says in Scripture, the whole city gathered outside Peter's door. And Jesus, as it says in Mark, cures many who are sick with various diseases and casts out many demons. And then, as if that isn't enough, following a night of prayer, Jesus travels throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message and casting out demons. I'll be honest. I read this and wonder, is this gospel story a little out of touch with reality? Can we ask the obvious questions? Where are the miracles? Where has all the magic gone? Writer and Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "The problem with miracles is that it's hard to witness them without wanting one of your own. Every one of us knows someone who is suffering. Every one of us knows someone who could use a miracle if it's not ourselves, right? But miracles are hard to come by. And so for people who are in the midst of some terrible things, we all try saying things that in hindsight maybe don't sound so great. Yes, this is hard, but God is preparing you for something great. Or, well, you know, Satan is testing you. Stay strong. Or, this illness is your opportunity to get closer to God. Or, you just need to have more faith. Or, you should have so-and-so pray for you. He or she has this direct line to God. Or, have you tried fasting? Besides being insensitive and hurtful, these claims and admonitions encourage us to assume that healthiness is the norm we ought to expect. Everything else, physical pain, emotional pain, chronic illness, untimely death, is an abnormality. No wonder people flock to churches that promises prosperity and healing and happiness Sunday after Sunday. Why not grab hold of the magic that's out there to claim? Why not demand glitter and spectacle Now, don't get me wrong. I love the healing stories in the Gospels. I love the power when Jesus touches the sick and the suffering, and instantly their malady is gone. Truly, I love these stories of Jesus' miracles. But sometimes I wish that Matthew or Mark or Luke or John would have put a few less dramatic stories in their Gospels. I mean, did Jesus ever go to visit a feverish woman and take her hand and offer her comfort and just be there for her? Did he ever tell a chronically ill child, "I can't take away your pain, but I love you and I'll try my best to help you bear it"? Did he ever encounter an unclean spirit that he didn't cast out? Did he ever sit in the dark with a profoundly depressed man? Just sit? Did he ever keep vigil at a deathbed and cry with a family as they said goodbye? No resurrection, no Lazarus miracle, just tears. Obviously, we can't know the answer to those questions. But if we add up all of Jesus' miracles in all four Gospels, there are 36 of them. 36. We hear in today's Gospel that the whole city came to Jesus, and he healed, what was the word? Anybody remember? Many. All the city came, many were healed. Not all. In short, while Jesus was walking on this earth, he only physically healed a small number of people in one tiny part of the world. Sometimes I think we try to turn Jesus into a magician or some sort of brilliant performer. We expect Jesus to do some sleight of hand, and then we all clap. But maybe this isn't what Jesus really is all about. Maybe we aren't looking at Jesus through the right lens. In the gospel story today, we hear that after Jesus healed some people, he slipped away from the crowds, and the disciples actually had to track him down. "Where have you been, Jesus?" Clearly, this wasn't someone just after fame and fortune. Someone who wanted glory. If that was the case, Jesus wouldn't have left. He would have gotten more and more and more and more people on stage and healed them to feed the spectacle. But that's a charlatan, not Jesus. Jesus welcomes and embraces and heals people, not to steal the limelight, but to bring about new life. Jesus is one who is so determined to bring about new life that he's willing to sacrifice it all, up to and including his own life. Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom of God, to bring about a new world where the powerful are brought down and the lowly are lifted up. Jesus came so that community could happen amongst people, especially bringing community to those who had been disregarded by society. Jesus came so that the lion could lie down with the lamb, and even more importantly, the lamb could lie down with the lion. Jesus came to bring life to all people. And sometimes that meant spectacular miracles. And sometimes it meant working in people's lives in other ways. Unlike us, Jesus never glamorized healing or made it seem like it was the only way to encounter God. If anything, he seemed embarrassed by the attention his miracles attracted, as if they were beside the point. Over and over in the Gospel of Mark, and if you aren't doing anything this afternoon, There's really nothing going on this afternoon, is there? For those of you who are like, what is going on? It's Super Bowl, for those of you who don't know. But if you're not doing anything this afternoon, I invite you to read the Gospel of Mark. Because over and over and over in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, don't tell anyone what I've done. Over and over, it's all there, all through the Gospel. And then he slips away. Of course, word got out, right? I mean, we know these stories, so obviously the word got out. But Jesus wasn't encouraging the telling. He wasn't doing it for the glory. 22 years ago, I sat at a bedside of a woman who was terminally ill. She had cancer everywhere. She was in her 50s, had a disabled son at home, and she had been told by her doctors that she was nearing her end, her end here on earth. I went to visit her in the hospital, and I admit to you now, I was exhausted. I was a young pastor. I had a baby at home. I'd had 3 funerals the past week. I had all these people who were sick. I was so tired. And so this is what I did. I went in and I took Nancy's hand and I said to her, Nancy, you just can't die yet. I'm too tired. Yeah, that's really what I said. And this is basically what I prayed. Not now, God, not yet. I can't handle it. Was this good pastoral care? No. Did I make it about myself rather than Nancy? Yes, I did. It was really a terrible thing to say to someone who was dying. But you know what? Nancy didn't die. She is still alive today. Her cancer has been in remission for 22 years. This was a miracle. An unexplainable, amazing, fantastic miracle that I witnessed when this woman was on death's door and came back to life. I cannot explain what or how or why this happened. I've never said those words to anybody else as I went because it was so terrible for me to say to someone, but I'll tell you, it was a miracle. But I will also say this. Throughout my life, there are so many other hands that I have held, so many other funerals I have officiated at and attended, so many parishioners and friends and family members I have sat with where the outcome was different, where a miracle didn't happen. And you know, it's a mystery. It's a mystery that we are called to live in. The mystery of living in the already in the kingdom of God and not yet in the kingdom of God. The mystery of God working in our lives, sometimes loudly and spectacularly, and sometimes quietly and almost hidden. Perhaps it's not so much the miracle, but the bigger idea of God's kingdom and God's community and how God calls us to live with one another that we need to focus on and to embrace the mystery. The mystery of how all this works in Jesus. Knowing that loss sometimes happens in this world. Knowing that life isn't always as we want it. But also knowing and trusting that Jesus is here and that the Holy Spirit is working and there is more to see than what we can see with our eyes. I know living in this tension between the already and the not yet is hard. It's hard when not everything is made clear. But in the fogginess of life, this I also know. Regardless of how loud or how silent God seems, God is. God is holding you, leading you, caring for you, guiding you, dancing with you, loving each of you, each one of us today. Healing us sometimes is spectacular. and sometimes it's bringing life and wholeness in other ways. Today, tomorrow, forever, God is. Whether or not the illness, the pain is healed, whether or not wholeness occurs now or in the life to come, we can live into the mystery and trust in the certainty that God is here, even in the darkest times, and there is more than we can imagine. Let's pray for the courage, the trust, the hope to truly dwell there in the mystery, knowing that Jesus dwells with us. Amen.